Welcome to another Blind Abilities Presents, and today we're going to talk about note-taking, how to take notes, and what tools of success that we have in college. I have Melusi from Michigan, and how are you doing?
I'm doing well, and you?
Doing good. And we also have Paulina from California. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Paulina, you're going to a community college?
Yes. I'm getting my AA in communications.
And Lucy, you are online at a public college?
Yes, public university, and I'm getting my master's in nutrition and dietetics.
Great. I got a question to start this out. What note takers are you using? And I'll go to Lucy first.
Basically, when I'm in school, I just utilize my phone with a Bluetooth keyboard, and I open up a blank email, and I send it to myself, and I type my notes in, and then as soon as the class is over, I hit the send button. I also use a recorder, or I did in the past when I attended physical classrooms, and I use the recorder mostly as a backup source in case I miss something, or if my notes weren't completely clear, I'll go back and determine what it was that I missed. And that seems to work out pretty well. And I use the Victor Stream for that because it allows me to navigate by a percent, or you can skip ahead by minute, and you can speed up the lectures.
Great. And Paulina?
I use my Braille note taker as a way to take notes. Generally, I will just write what I hear during the lecture, and then I will go back and review those notes either on a laptop or on the Braille note itself.
Have any of you ever used a note taker, as in a physical person, to take notes, or a scribe or of that sort? Paulina?
Yes, I have. I also use scribes because what they do for me is they get the stuff on the board. So a professor is doing a lecture on English. They may not always say what they're writing on the board. They might say stuff about grammar, but on the board they could be writing something different than what they're actually saying. So what I will do is I'll take notes on what I'm listening to from the lecture and what they're saying, and then the scribe will get what is written on the board for the things that I'll miss. So like if it's highlighted or other things that are of importance in relation to that lecture.
That's great. And Lucy?
At my school, it's a little bit different because they have what they call voluntary note takers. So basically they just send out a mass email to the class and ask somebody to volunteer to take notes. But there's really no incentive for those people to do it. So if they don't do it, then you don't really get the notes, and then you're sort of in trouble. And a lot of times also they'll have handwritten notes that they'll provide you, which for me, being totally blind, that's not really helpful because now I don't have the notes at all and no device can read those notes. Or they'll give you like a carbon copy of the notes, and there again is not helpful. So I tried it one time and I just kind of gave up on it, and I just take my own notes. And a lot of times before the classes begin, like the first lecture, I'll actually ask the professor, if at all possible, if they could describe what they're writing on the board. And sometimes they're pretty good about it, and then other times they sort of forget.
Mm-hmm. If you do get services from your disability services office, is that provided through them, or have any of you ever hired a reader to come into your home or meet at a location and read notes for you?
I have had a hired person come help me in my biochemistry course, but that was because I needed somebody to describe the structures that were provided in the course outline, and it wasn't something that I could have read.
Mm-hmm. I remember when I was going to college that state services would provide so many reader hours, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So, how about you, Paulina?
Well, that's interesting. I know with the scribes now, they hire people at the DSS office. they will hire someone to take notes and be a scribe for me. And that works out really well because, especially with some science courses, like Lucy was saying, like describing if you're taking anatomy or if you're taking any kind of courses like that, they can help you with describing certain things or just getting general notes. But no, I've never had to hire somebody before.
And how about in labs, like you were talking about?
I actually haven't done a lab course as of yet. I'm actually going to be doing that starting next week, so I don't know how that's going to work. At the moment, yeah, I've never done that before with a scribe, except in high school I know I did, and that was interesting. Mostly they just were there to help with anything that I needed them to help with. But I did most of the lab work myself, apart from like maybe actually dissecting or looking through a microscope, because you know I couldn't do that. But I could do like some of the other stuff, like if I was taking chemistry or something, telling them how much to put in, because they may not allow me to do that because it's chemicals. But
well, my approach to labs were a little bit different because most of my lab courses were actually like requirements for my degree. So it was based on information that I was going to have to obtain later. So it wasn't like I was somewhat of a pain, I guess, to my school because I had asked the SDS department, our Student Disability Service Department, to provide a like person in the lab to help. And basically they wanted to do the same thing. They wanted the volunteer person. And in the past, when I've worked with just a student in the course, they just seem sort of annoyed and just unwilling really to help or describe in the detail that I needed things to be described in. So I went above and beyond the SDS department and had the state help as well. And I found a girl on my own in my chemistry course, and she had taken the other classes that I was required to take. And I asked her if she would be my lab partner. And so she would come in and describe what was under the microscope. She went into my anatomy course as well, and she would just basically guide my hands to different structures on the body and tell me what it was. And then I would just memorize what she was telling me. So I guess if it's not like a course that you're required to for your degree, I guess it's a little bit different. But since I needed all that information, I mandated that they provide me with somebody.
Yeah. Now, I remember taking notes and stuff like that, and all of us take notes so we can decipher what the notes are about. I mean, we all have our own little hand, shorthand and stuff, so we understand the notes instead of trying to get every word down. I remember every time I heard the teacher say, "This may be on the test," I would always put little key things in there. Like, I would use the asterisk. I would put two asterisks right next to each other and then a space, and then I would go back into my notes. And when I was reviewing, I would have like one asterisk for main headings for topics. Like when we switched topics, I put an asterisk. And then for like key things such as "this could be on the test," I would put two. So then I would do a search on my Braille note for those points. And I would jump around like that instead of having to read 16 pages of notes. Did you guys ever develop any type of tips and tricks? Do you have tips and tricks that you've used?
That's interesting. I've actually never tried the headings thing. I've tried outline formats for notes. So, like, if we're talking about, like, English or something, you know, I could put stuff about maybe punctuation in one section or one little heading, and then, like, you know, have, like, bullet point number one or, you know, and then, you know, go in and, like, kind of like a letter format, like A, B, or sometimes I'll just write down what I feel like is important. So sometimes I'll put either a number next to it, or maybe I'll just write down exactly what I'm hearing.
Mm-hmm.
But that generally works for me.
Lucy?
I generally don't trust my professors when they tell me things like that, because you'll get the exam and it'll be something like you really, really focused on something because they told you to, and then you get the exam and they focused on something they didn't say anything about. So I tend to just be like as descriptive as possible. And if they do tell me that, you know, you'll see this again, I'll put like important or something next to it. But I mean, for the most part, I just kind of, I don't know, I guess I'm anal with my notes. I study everything.
Everything? You go through it all?
I don't blame you. I try to go all detailed into it because, like, you never know what you might need. You never know what could be important, like, even if they say it. So I try to write down, like, as much as possible or as much as I hear, because I just think, well, this could be important and somebody else might not think that, but it's important to me.
So, Paulina, have you ever used a recorder?
I have in the past, but not during my college time, just because recorders do not work for me. Generally, if I'm going to use a recorder for something, it's something really quick. But if I use a recorder for like a lecture, I'm going to end up falling asleep. That's what's going to happen.
Because you're dependent, you know it's going to be there, so why pay attention type of deal?
Kind of. But mostly because I just can't listen to audiobooks or like recordings in general. They don't do anything for me. It's too passive. Like, it's not active. It's not engaging. I'm not really doing anything. And I have to be like consistently, for lack of a word, like mentally stimulated. So I have to be like writing and engaging. And I have to read something as I'm listening to it, if that makes any sense.
If you want a good night's sleep, you just turn on an audiobook.
Yeah, really. Or I'll listen to... No, if I honestly want a good night's sleep, I will listen to voiceover read me articles, and I will crash. If I can't sleep, that's what I'm going to do.
I remember having a recorder, and I would think, this is a great way to do it. And after about a month of that, I stopped doing it because I did not want to take the class twice. I mean, you're sitting there in class, you can take notes, and you don't have to review the entire hour class. But when you did it on a recorder of sorts, you had this play the whole thing again. And it's like you're sitting in class again. And it was like, okay, this is redundant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why I really like the stream, because you can actually put like bookmarks in there. Like if you feel that it's something that you're going to want to listen to again, and you can like fast forward to certain parts of the lecture. Mm-hmm. But what I've really found is if I sit through a lecture and I don't retain any of that information, I just have to continually write it down, because I feel like I really retain the information so much better than just sitting there. Because if I'm just sitting there listening to somebody talk, my mind goes everywhere and everywhere but on that person. So
exactly.
I completely agree. I have that problem too. Yeah, it keeps you focused. It keeps you active and engaging, and you're like paying attention. It just like shows that you're paying attention when you do stuff like that. Like you see these people. I always catch the texters in class when I'm taking notes.
Oh, because you can hear them?
Yeah, I can hear them. I can hear them tapping. I can hear them, you know, clicking, whatever. I hear the typers, you know, the people typing and the people texting and the people writing. It's just so funny. I can do all that while taking notes.
Hearing is so much better.
I know, because I pay attention so much. It's ridiculous.
I actually had a professor who refused to allow anybody to use a computer. For me, was like, okay, seriously? So I just had to record his stuff. But I'm like,
they
I
wouldn't
could have
let
fought
you,
it.
They wouldn't let you do that, even if it was a part of your, whether it's a part of your accommodations. I mean, he wouldn't allow you to do that either, because I've had that happen to me too. And I remember one time, my professor actually thought that my note taker was a recorder. Apparently, it looks like a recorder, and I was like, "No, it's a note taker."
And, oh wow!
Because I know in some cases they will not let you bring a computer. Now, though, I think they're becoming a little bit more lenient with that. Like they're realizing that, you know, computers are everywhere and iPads are everywhere. So a lot of the times they're generally being okay with that kind of thing. I think it just depends on the professor, but that doesn't surprise me.
Did any of you have to use like the blackboard or other type of devices? Like sometimes I remember my physics class, the teacher actually recorded the whole entire class, plus had a notes program on there and stuff. But I took my own notes and I could always go on the web and listen to that. But how about blackboard or other type of, usually the institute engages in bringing this on board, like the Google stuff and other things. How about you, Paulina?
Yeah, I've used Blackboard and before when it wasn't accessible in my area, and then now it's really accessible and amazing, and I love using it. It works really well because I could go back and look at the slides, so if I miss something, I can read those, and also for submitting assignments, it works really well because I take a lot of like web enhanced classes, so like. There's a lecture component, and then the rest is all usually on Blackboard. And I've seen like other schools where they're like, Blackboard isn't working for me, and it's not, accessible to them. And I'm like, well, I think it depends on what you're using and how long you've been using it and that kind of thing. But I like Blackboard. It works.
And you, Lucy?
Yeah, I actually my master's program is based through Blackboard, so everything is right on Blackboard. And I've used Blackboard. I went to a community college in Norfolk, and they use Blackboard as well. So I've taken a lot of online classes, and I think the accessibility has gotten better. But I think like with Blackboard, a lot of it is just learning like the key commands to get around easier because there's so much on the screen. Just finding what you need is a lot of people's problem. So just kind of figuring that kind of stuff out is good.
Oh yeah, like the commands to get to say, your courses or your grades or whatever. Yeah, a lot of people forget about those commands. And it's funny because it even says at the top, look, click here or whatever for the shortcut commands, for a list of shortcut commands with screen readers. Like it's right there and it's all there for you. And even I've seen it where like it says, my courses tab, and then it tells you what the command is for that. Like to access that information. And a lot of people just generally don't know how to do all that.
How about classroom chats? Is that part of Blackboard?
Oh, like discussions?
Yeah.
Oh, I've never actually got to use that. Have you, Lucy?
Yeah, we use them all the time. They're not bad. I mean, it's pretty accessible. The only thing I've sort of noticed sometimes with the discussion board is when you want to actually click on a specific link to a specific discussion, you have to sometimes use the space bar versus the enter
Enter
key.
key.
Yeah, I don't really know why it is like that, but that's the way it is. So, I mean, I find them to be pretty accessible. As soon as you want to create a thread, it'll take you like into a subject field, sort of like an email, and you just type out the subject that you want yours to say, and then you just tab down, and there's a big open area, just like an email, and then you tab out of there, and there's a submit button. You can also save, but I've never actually done that before. And I've taken quizzes and exams, and I use Blackboard Collaborate, which is the classroom setting of Blackboard where my professor is, and they have a chat in there as well. The only thing with that is sometimes after, like, if somebody's chat is a little bit too long, it'll cut off, and so it'll only read you, and then it'll say dot dot dot. And the only way you can get to have it read to you is if you hit the control key and then, or hold the control key down and press the right arrow to get it to read the whole thing, which is a little bit time consuming, but it allows you to read it all.
That's fascinating. I've never seen the chat thing. And I think that's just a thing with chat stuff in general and accessibility, is it's kind of a hit and miss, whether it's the Blackboard chat or any other chat system.
Yeah, I think Blackboard's pretty good. I mean, there's a couple things here or there that don't work all that well.
But I would
But
imagine those are like minor like inconveniences, but they're not like major ones where like it's not reading like a certain portion of the submission boxes or something, like mislabeling where like the comments was in the actual submission. Which has happened to me, by the way. I've actually put my essay in like the comments instead of the submission, and I'm just like, wait, what?
And again, it
has to do with like the version of JAWS or version of whatever you're using and how long you've been using it and how proficient you are at it. Because I was using like JAWS 13 and it was just crazy. I was actually surprised that I got it to work.
I have a question for both of you. Now, as someone who may be just leaving high school, and obviously they've probably taken notes, but college is a little bit different. You're more on your own type of deal. Sure, you got the SDS, the disability services and stuff, but they're not going to tell you how to take notes. Do you have any suggestions for someone before they engage in their first classes, like to practice or to try something with their note takers or have a plan? What would you suggest, Lucy?
Well, everybody has something different that really works for them or doesn't work for them. And so what I would suggest is if it's your first class or your first semester in college is kind of just do it all. I mean, ask for those voluntary note takers, take your own notes, try different apps, try different recorders, and just see which one works for you and which one you're really like gravitating towards. Cause that's sort of how I figured it out. I was like, I used to record, but then I would fall asleep. And then I was like, well, I still sort of want to be able to go back to part of a recording, but I really need to take my own notes. And I really find that learning how to take your own notes is a really crucial skill, because when you go out into the workforce, and college is kind of like that interim between high school and work, you're going to be required to do those things on your own. So college is a good way to practice.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Paulina?
I have to agree with what Lucy said. And I would say really know how, I guess, to take notes before. And like, I would say do a bit of practice, like just taking notes on something, like even if it's like a book or like some lecture you heard. Like some people go to lectures for like different things, like maybe their author is giving like a speech or whatever. Try taking notes on that, or try using like different mediums, like try maybe a note taker, then try using maybe a computer and see which one of those works. Because if you don't know what works for you, then nobody else is gonna know. And really know what kind of information you want to have in your notes, because what somebody might find useful, you might not find useful. And I think it's just really important for you to know how to take notes and how to take notes that work for you. So I'd say just try a bit of everything.
Yeah. And I think too, the point that once you leave college and you go to the workforce, you can't bring the disability services office with you. You can't bring a scribe with you and stuff like that. So, you know, and I do like what you said about try it all at first, you know, and wean it out and get yourself like a lean note-taking machine person, you know, because it's true. Once you leave even when you leave a training center or when you leave a college, you're on your own. You're representing yourself. So you should have the skills to do what it takes to get the job done.
Right. And I think what a lot of people forget is that, you know, in high school, you have people telling you, like, they tell you, okay, she needs this or he needs that and blah, blah, blah. But in college, you are your own advocate. So you got to know how to advocate for yourself. You got to know how to say, look, I need this. And this is why. And the reason I need this is because this is what works, because no two people are the same. And that's right. What a lot of people forget.
So with state services for the blind and both of your states and stuff, when they did an assessment, did they feel it valid that you should have a note taker? Did they see that would be a tool that they could accommodate for your success?
I didn't ask for one, but they gave me a laptop, and I think they just assumed that I would use that.
How about you, Paulina?
As far as my note-taking thing, when they did my assessment, I did ask for the note taker, and that was just because I knew that that worked well for me because I've used it in the past. If I hadn't used it and I just used a computer, I would have just said, here's the computer. But the thing about that was when I got that assessment done, I already had a computer already. All I needed was the screen reader. I didn't need like anything else, so all I really needed was the screen reader and the note taker.
Now, I've heard people say that note takers, being that their price can range from, $2,500 all the way up to $6,000, that with the Apple products, the accessibility built into them, and, even with laptops and stuff, that it has become more of a note taker. Is it becoming obsolete in a sense, or is it that people are finding new ways of taking notes with the new devices that we have with accessibility?
I don't know about obsolete, but I do know coming from Virginia, where in other states, it's not just Virginia, but other states, they don't have state services or they don't help people with those kinds of things. So I think that if you could kind of use something like I had mentioned, the Bluetooth keyboard with an iPhone, that's something that really could work for somebody that maybe don't ha that doesn't have that opportunity.
And Paulina?
Well, I don't think that they're so much becoming obsolete per se. I think they still have their places, but I think if you honestly don't have either the services or any way of getting a note taker, then that's where knowing how to use computers and knowing how to use other forms of technology and being able to adapt helps a lot. So I think it just depends. If a Bluetooth keyboard and a phone works for you, then good. I think if you can find another alternative, if the, note taker isn't provided for you for whatever reason, then that's good. But if you can get a note taker, that might work out in some way. If you can integrate the two things, if you have access to the note taker, if you can integrate using a note taker in a laptop or a note taker in a phone, because you can use, like for instance, I could hook up my note taker to my phone. And if I had my notes or my documents on my phone, I can read them in Braille that way. That's another way that I would integrate using the two things together. But if I didn't have that, I would just adapt and use my phone itself or a laptop or what have you, whatever I have available. Be resourceful.
Well, great. Well, Lucy, is there anything else you would like to say about note-taking in college?
The only other thing that I can think of that I think might be really helpful to people is use your shortcuts through your phone or through Word or any other thing, which is basically under General Keyboard, and then you can create shortcuts. So, like, certain words can expand out. So instead of writing biochemistry 8 times, you could just type in the first 2 letters and it'll expand out into biochemistry. And that makes it a lot faster when you're trying to type out notes, especially if you're in a class where you're writing the same thing over and over.
Oh, yeah.
Like I write the word nutrition like 100 times. So in my phone, I just type NU and then hit space and it goes into nutrition. So it makes it a lot faster to get through that.
Oh, that's cool. How about you, Paulina? Anything else you want to mention about note-taking?
I would say really know your technology and really know the commands that work with that technology. So say you're not very proficient in Word and you need to know the commands for that. And especially if you're visually impaired, you might want to get to know how the screen reader or screen readers, if you use multiple screen readers for different things, you might want to know how that works and interfaces with that technology. So you really have to know how that works and use those key shortcut commands. Like instead of trying to scroll through the entire document, trying to find this one thing, use that Control F for the find command. Know your technology, know how it works, know how to use the technology with different other devices.
Go home and practice, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I thought that was a really good point. And one thing I would like to mention is if you go onto YouTube and just type in I don't know, like a sociology lecture or whatever you're interested in, there's like full lectures in there that were done at universities. So if you want to try to practice, that's a really good place to go to and kind of see what works for you before you start into the real deal, your first lecture. And it'll probably alleviate a lot of that stress.
Yeah.
That's a really good idea. I completely forgot about that.
So, Lucy, if someone wants to get a hold of you, do you have any information for them?
Yes, you can contact me on Twitter at Molucie. It's M-O-E-L-U-C-I-E. And I am the same on Audio Boom.
Great. And Paulina?
If anybody wants to get in touch with me, my Twitter name is at ShadowWalker24. I'm going to spell it. So it's at ShadowWalker24.
Great. And I'm Jeff Thompson from Blind Abilities, and we're at Blind Abilities on Twitter and at www.blindabilities.com. Thanks a lot for coming on and discussing note-taking. Thank you, Paulina, and thank you, Lucy.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. No problem.
You can subscribe to Blind Abilities Podcast on the web at www.blindabilities.com. We're also on www.ba18cast.com. For all you high school students transitioning to college and the workplace, check it out. Follow us on Twitter at Blind Abilities. And we're also on Audio Boom as the Blind Abilities channel. And thanks for listening.
When we share
what we see through
each other's eyes, we can then begin to bridge the gap
between the limited expectations
and the realities
of blind abilities.
The realities of blind abilities.
Of blind abilities.